This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Well, the Netflix series House of Cards is back for its second season. We've got people who are already binge-watching it this weekend, others who are going to set aside time to watch it an hour here, an hour there, whenever they can. Netflix has, like they did with the first season, released all the episodes simultaneously, so you can watch as many or as few as you like in one sitting. My next guest appeared in a couple of episodes of the first season of House of Cards, and now is back once again for a couple more episodes, playing Raymond Tusk, the Warren Buffett-like billionaire who's in the good graces of the president, but not in the good graces of Kevin Spacey's lead character, Francis Underwood. Gerald McRaney, who you know from so many years on TV, Major Dad, Simon & Simon, most recently Southland, Mike & Molly, and Justified, is here now to talk about his role on House of Cards. Gerald, welcome to America Weekend.
Good morning.
So I got to tell you, I was a little bit ambivalent talking to you today because I'm a huge fan of House of Cards. I liked your work on it last season, and I plan on watching the episodes several at a time. And I'm very aware of people not wanting to have any part of this show spoiled. So I'm not sure how much we can actually talk about here.
I know. I have the same exact feeling about doing these interviews today is, what can I talk about? They've told me I can't say anything.
It's very odd, this Netflix model, and you've done plenty of projects, both TV, movies, you know, commercial TV, HBO kind of series. This Netflix model, is that changing much inside Hollywood?
I think it changes everything in terms of marketing, in terms of, you know, a delivery system, getting the show to an audience. But it's still just classical theater as far as I can see. The way House of Cards especially is being done, and this is just a different marketing tool. But ultimately the thing is, you can do all the clever marketing you want, but if the product you have isn't any good, it won't sell. Fortunately for them, they got this bunch of people, Bo Williman and Kevin, and a few other guys who are really hot at what they do, and they've delivered a hell of a good show. I can say that I came into it late. I am not responsible for any part of putting this together, so I can brag on it all I want to. And I just think it's a great show to be on and to watch.
Does this binge-watching dynamic and the way a show is put together, after all, because it's streaming, there are no act breaks like there would be in traditional television, does that change anything about your job as an actor?
No, because it's there are act ends. It's just that nothing stops.
Mm-hmm.
You go directly from act one to act two, from, you know, scene B to scene C. But it's like doing a feature film in that respect, that there's no climactic moment necessarily here, and now we're going to go sell soap suds. But apart from that, it's just the same as anything else I've ever done.
You directed a few episodes of Simon & Simon and Major Dad and a couple of other things. And I know that on this season of House of Cards, Robin Wright plays Claire on the show. She actually is directing an episode or two. How difficult is it to do a show and direct it at the same time, to be on both sides of the camera?
Well, you begin to feel like you have a split personality after a while. I've had to do it, and it gets to be a little tough for the first few days, but then you settle in, and it's still, especially when you do it on a series that you've been on for a while, it's still the same guys doing the same jobs, and you just have a slightly different one now. In addition to having to act, you're now telling other people where to put the camera and how to play the roles. You know, not that they always necessarily listen to you, and in some cases, thank God they don't, especially with me. But it's just fun to do after you get through that first sort of anxiety-ridden rush of doing it. And she was terrific at it, by the way.
You were in one of the episodes that she directed?
Yeah.
What do you want from somebody in that position? Because you've been on both sides, and you probably have had directors who told you too much, and you wanted to say, all right, I got it, leave me alone. So then when you go on the other side and you're behind the cameras, you must be aware of how little or how much you should do with the actors, right?
Yeah, and Robin went out of her way to make sure that the actors were comfortable with what she was doing. She didn't over-direct anything. And the most important thing she did is what you want out of any director. She came prepared. She knew what it was that she wanted. And she was also very good at communicating that to the actors so that they could be a part of making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if she's like me, and I think to this degree she was like me, she's probably more prepared than other directors because you're too damn scared not to be.
You come
because
to work,
you know that people are going to be watching you a little bit more closely than they do those other directors.
Yeah.
So you're more prepared. But she was terrific. She was just terrific.
House of Cards has already been renewed for a third season for Netflix. And the weird thing about this is that they don't release any viewership numbers. At least they don't publicly. I don't know if they tell anybody like you who works on the show. Do you need to know how many people are watching you when you work on a project, or once you're done with it, that was good. I'm now on to the next thing.
No, I concentrate on doing the work, and if the work is any good, that's terrific. But ultimately, I don't have any control over those numbers, so I try to stay away from that as much as I possibly can.
As long as it comes to your house and you can watch it streaming so you can figure out what the heck is going on.
Exactly. What did I do?
You told Variety last year that you have no desire to jump back into a regular series part. Why?
Well, I'm in no hurry to do it because the way I've been working for the last couple of years is great fun. And, you know, it's been putting money in the bank, so I have no particular need to jump back into something. Now, if the right project came along, of course, I would do it. But I don't want to be doing another series just to do another series. I've done that.
So it's not about...
Been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And I much prefer doing what I've been doing. When I started out, when I was in my teens, actually, I started in a repertory company where you're playing different roles every night, practically.
Yep.
And that's the fun part of acting to me. And so if I can do that, and God, last year I was doing 5 series
yep.
at the same time. It was a lot of work, but God, was it fun.
Nice to be in demand, isn't it?
Hey, it beats having to have a real job.
you mentioned that
I've had real jobs. I didn't like them.
you mentioned it. I've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. You also were parodied about, I think it was like a year and a half ago, Adam Scott and John Hamm did this thing for Adult Swim called The Greatest Event in TV History, in which the two of them played you and Jameson Parker recreating the introduction, the opening sequence of Simon and Simon.
And they did it frame for frame.
We
don't know why, but they did. And they did it remarkably well, but I still can't figure out why they wanted to do that. But
did they come to you and say, hey, we're going to do this, is it okay?
No. But, you know, they didn't need to do that. They wanted to do it as a lark, I guess, and they did. And it's terrific.
Because every TV series in history seems to have been rebooted in the last decade or so. Has there ever been talk of a Simon and Simon reboot or movie?
We did one movie that Jameson and I actually produced back in the mid-90s. And we did that, and we had fun doing it, and I suppose if the right circumstances happened again, we would do it. But Jameson is basically out of the acting business. He's become a writer. He lives up in the mountains, and I think he's quite content to be out of the rat race. So I don't know whether that would ever happen again. It would have to be something very interesting to lure him back into it. But I would like the idea of revisiting that character every once in a while. I wonder if I can still do it.
Would you maybe not do your own stunts this time?
I think maybe this time I would be smarter and call the guys who are paid to be that stupid.
Well, it's a pleasure talking to you. This has been very weird for me because, again, I don't want to give anything away, and I don't even want you to tell me anything because I don't want it spoiled for me.
Well, I feel like, you know, the Netflix is better at keeping secrets than the CIA is.
Although the NSA...
They should put these guys in charge of the NSA. Everything would be fine.
I'm pretty sure since this is on the Internet, the NSA knows everything about this season of House of Cards, but I don't.
Well, they knew about it before we started it, so that's okay.
That's right. Gerald McRaney, thanks so much for joining me here today.
You bet.
Gerald McRaney plays Raymond Tusk, a billionaire who may be the new vice president. I don't know. We'll find out in the new season of House of Cards, which is streaming now from Netflix. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.